This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Triple Captain. We are an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league this season. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm your co-host. I'm at Luke Jurdy on social media. And I'm joined, as ever, by my co-host, Rich Wolfenden. How are you doing, Rich?
Yes, mate. Very good. Well, not great. This podcast. Oh, my name's Rich Wolfenden, by the way. TalkSport commentator. Should have been commentating last night, but I've got a little bit of a bug. It's not the big one. It's just a bit of a common cold, which hasn't been around for a while. So it's nice to see the common cold make a return. So apologies for any sniffles or splutters you may hear on this podcast. But yeah, mate, other than that, all good. FPL let me down a little bit this week, or just my team really let me down. Certain players in particular who are in the shop window to be sold. Should we just get straight into it then?
Let's get straight in. Let's go on.
Tell people where we are. What are we going? FPL triple? No. At yes. FPL
triple cap.
Cap. Yes, that's it.
That's
yes,
right.
Sorry. That's good.
At FPL triple cap. On socials, give us a follow on Twitter. And yeah, as I said, I think I said it already, but I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Rich, you're at
underscore Wolfenden. That's my Twitter handle.
Yes. So let's dive straight in, Rich. Briefly. So how did you do this week? I think you were just saying to me, weren't you, off air, that it sounds like you went for a couple of alternative midfield options to start the season with, and they haven't quite worked out.
Yeah, that's right. So as I mentioned on previous podcasts, I'm a big fan of James Maddison, and you know, he is usually one of the key creative forces in a Leicester side that, you know, getting European football this season, and we're unlucky not to get top four in the end. And I thought, you know what, he's fully fit and he could do damage this season. There was a bit of a question mark over his fitness, but yeah, leading into this game week, but Brendan Rodgers said he'd been training well in training. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to keep him in the side. Don't want to make any transfers because, like everybody in game week one, planned for the upcoming next half a dozen game weeks or so, without having to take any hits. Unfortunately, I didn't expect the absolute show that Leicester City played against West Ham. They were absolutely atrocious. So Maddison got me nothing. Although he was quite unlucky not to get an assist because he put the ball into Tielemans, who had like one of three shots that Leicester had in the whole game. This is where FPL annoys me, because game week one, Antonio missed that penalty that was saved by the goalkeeper, and Suchek tapped in the rebound, but Antonio got the assist, whereas Maddison has literally crossed the ball in for Tielemans. His first shot's been blocked and then he's hit it in again on the rebound. He's not got the assist for that, which is a bit frustrating, but whatever.
There's another little thing that with penalties, that's, they reward a player for winning a penalty as long as they don't take it themselves. Dele Alli won his penalty for Spurs and scored it at the weekend, he would have only got the points for a goal. Whereas if he'd have won the penalty and Son had taken the penalty, he would have got the points for an assist. So, I mean, I kind of get it, but it's also annoying, isn't it, if you own that player? It's like, well, really, should they be getting double points? But I think that would that maybe be unfair. But it just doesn't. There's always going to be things, isn't there, that don't quite work.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you think, oh, Madison's put the cross into the box. So the guy who scored, that's an assist. But it's not, because it's took a deflection off the first shot. So anyway, I'm getting into it too deep here. So yeah, Maddison let me down this week. I have a West Ham asset who played pretty much, I think he played the whole game actually, but he didn't do anything with any of the goals in Jared Bowen, which is a bit of a shame. He looked lively in game week one, but game week two he didn't really have any attempts at goal. And then the other guy who didn't return is Callum Wilson, which again, I'm putting it down to a bit of bad luck. Aston Villa, I think, had a lot of fortune in that game. Martinez could have given away a penalty. On another day, that offside decision wouldn't have been given against Callum Wilson. And, you know, he undoubtedly would have been taking the penalty for Newcastle as well. He also had a one-on-one that he put about a foot wide in the first half. So, you know, another day they could go in. I'm not too disappointed with the players in my team, but there will be transfers being made this week. The people who did return for me, Edison in goal, 6 points. So straightforward for him to get that clean sheet. Tsimikas and Alexander-Arnold, I think they've got to have a pretty decent high ownership in FPL this season. And then Danny Ings as well, with an absolute goal of the season contender, which meant that I finished on 53 for this game week, below the average. So red arrow for me for about, is that 400,000, something like that. But still, early days, so I'm not taking it to heart just yet. How about you?
Yeah, and I think I saw a great tweet the other day. I think that the general had retweeted saying that, generally speaking, those who've had excellent starts simply have had both Benrahma and Antonio instead of other good picks like Gundogan, like Harvey Barnes, Tony, you know, Madison, like you, Rich. So if you haven't had a good start, don't be discouraged by that. It really has been the difference, those two players, because everybody else has pretty much got the same team, from the Twitter world. So there's going to be lots of decisions like that throughout the season where you'll probably be on the right side of those decisions. So I wouldn't worry too much just yet. And like we said, I think after game week two, as long as you're inside the top 2 million, which you are, aren't you, Rich? I think should be absolutely fine. I got 75 this week.
Very nice.
I think at end of Saturday night, I was up to about 225K, which I was really pleased about. But I only had three players left. I didn't have Greenwood. I don't have Benrahma. So they kind of knocked my rank back down. But I managed to cling on to top 500K. So 454,000 at the moment, which I'm really, really pleased with. I kind of halved my rank this week. Another big average, 56 is another big average in the end. And that's because of players like Benrahma, Greenwood, pushing it up after that Saturday evening. But really pleased with my team. There's only a couple really that didn't return. There was only Gundogan, Tony, Fernandez and Salah. Captain Salah, of course, he didn't return. And nice to see Soufal first on my bench, getting an assist for West Ham. I'm quite pleased that he's playing well, and I'm glad I've got him in ready to play next week instead of Tsimikas. So I'll go through my team in much more detail on the extra pod, but pretty happy with that. On the right track, and I think I'm pretty sure I'm going to rectify not having Benrahma this week with my two free transfers. Feeling pretty good and ready to discuss our watch lists. I think we've both got two frees to use this week. Should we briefly mention Ben, because he's on holiday again? But
his second holiday in two weeks. This man, honestly, he's going to be so relaxed when he comes back.
He deserves it though, doesn't he? He's been non-stop for so long, he will definitely want me to mention his score this week. He got 89 points, huge score. He went without Fernandez, as we know, and again, it didn't matter. He's a point ahead of me. I'm not sure what his overall rank is, but he's a point ahead of me. And I think, to be honest, I think that means he's about 100,000 places ahead of me, but just by a point. So that shows how close it is at the moment, as it always does this season. He had a double up of Grealish and Mahrez, which worked out very well for him in the end, 8 and 6. He's got Greenwood. He hasn't got Benrahma, but he's got Antonio, Ings, and it was Grealish and Mahrez that made the difference for him, basically. He's got TAA and Tsimikas and Shaw and Sanchez, similar to everybody else. But 89 points for Ben. Great start for him. And he hasn't got Bruno. So let's see if that continues. Let's talk players that we want to get in. Me and you have both got two free transfers this week. I've already made one move, just because I wanted to avoid a price rise, and I was pretty sure that that's what I needed to do. But I'll talk about that in a moment. Who are your standout options for this week and beyond, Rich?
Yeah, so I've already made my first transfer of the season, after keeping the same side for the first two game weeks. So the first transfer I made was bringing in Saeed Benrahma. it's just crazy to see how much he's kicked on already from last season. He only got one goal in all of last season's Premier League campaign. Obviously, it was his first since joining from the Championship. But a goal and assist in your first two Premier League games of the season. And you know what? West Ham just looked like they mean business this season. I know they were great last season, but David Moyes, for me, he's just completely like changed that whole persona of what he had after he left Manchester United, because he was kind of on that managerial roundabout with like Pardew and Allardyce and those sort of managers. So it's nice to see that he's finally got off the roundabout, and he's got West Ham playing basically like what Everton were playing in 2007. And, you know, there's so many players that are like his Everton team there. Cresswell's been absolutely brilliant, like Leighton Baines was down the left. You know, he's got Antonio up front, like when he had Yakubu. You know, he's got some brilliant players there, and he's got them playing to the best of their ability, which is what David Moyes does. And Ben Rama's probably the standout player so far, apart from Antonio, at the beginning of this season. So Ben Rama's came in to my team, 6.2 million. And I think, has he had two price rises on the bounce now? So he would have started off for 6 million, wouldn't he? So two game weeks, two price rises for Saeed Benrahma. It's going to be interesting to see if they can keep up their form. But you just have to look at their next two fixtures anyway. Crystal Palace at home, Southampton away. It's just, they've not had brilliant starts to the season. And the way West Ham played, especially against Leicester, you've got to have at least two West Ham attacking options in your team, I think, considering the prices that they are. So yeah, Saeed Benrahma is the first guy who I would recommend, and he's the first guy who I've brought in, and he's got to be on your shopping list as well, surely.
Yeah, I decided not to go without him at the start of the season, as kind of it wouldn't have been in keeping with my usual strategy of selecting players that perhaps haven't got the form previously, but fair play to everyone that did. They saw his talent in pre-season and playing, you know, a more advanced role now that Lingard's not there. And it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it, really, Benrahma? I mean, because of his price. I think if he was 7.5 million, like, say, Jota and Greenwood, I know they're 7.6 million now, I think I would prefer one of those, just because looking at the stats, Benrahma is overperforming. He's only had 5 shots in his 2 games, which is okay, but bearing in mind Lukaku had 7 shots in one match. I think he had 7 in the box, in fact, in one match, and maybe 9 shots, which is absolutely huge. Only 3 shots on target, so two out of three of his shots on target have been goals. He's got 2 assists despite only creating 3 chances. So you'd say he's been a little bit, not lucky, of course, he's been clinical.
Prolific, yeah.
Prolific. And so I can't necessarily see him keeping up with that, but you can't miss out on him. It's 6.2 million. The fixtures are great. He's involved in West Ham's attacking play. I think it would be silly not to bring him in. So yeah, he's my number one target as well.
Yeah, real.
Do you want to talk Antonio while we're on West Ham?
Yeah, I mean, he just looked incredible, didn't he? Apart from the celebration, very questionable celebration. I want to know if in Premier League history, anyone who's ever just announced themselves as their most iconic striker in the era of the Premier League has got a f***ing cardboard cut out of themselves and celebrated with it.
Is that what happened? I didn't see the game. Is that what happened?
Oh, my God. So, brilliant. So he scored twice? Yeah, he scored twice, didn't he? His goal, he scored it, a brilliant finish as well, to be fair to him. But he just ran off to the touchdown. I thought, oh, he's going to give David Moyes a big hug, or, you know what, one of the coaching staff who's worked with him on his injuries or something like that. But no, he picks out a big 6-foot cardboard cut out of himself, holds it aloft like Simba in The Lion King, and like spins around with it and then chucks it into the crowd and then runs back onto the pitch. And like, lads, let's get back on with this. Just broken the goal scoring record. But yeah, he looks great. But I think he's on 50 goals, maybe 49 goals for West Ham, which is their all-time scorer in the Premier League, which is mental. Mark Noble's 3rd. All of those must be penalties. Anyway, enough rambling about West Ham's goal-scoring history. Yeah, he just looked brilliant, didn't he? Everything came through him. You're just talking there about shots. It was him and Lukaku who were, you know, at the top of the table for shots this season. And I think for 7.5 million he was at the start of the season, I think he's had a double price rise as well now. He's kind of starting to do what Bamford did last season, where he's starting to edge himself ahead of everybody who was in the same price as him, price bracket as him. And, you know, considering the fixtures that West Ham have got, that can easily expand once again. But yeah, what did you think of him? You got him right.
Yeah, I've got him, thankfully. Yeah, he was always going to be in my team at the start of the season with those fixtures, and I just seen how much of a monster he can be. You know, we all remember those four goals he scored against Norwich two seasons ago, which when he was a midfielder in the game as well, which was just such a good game week for those that had him. And yeah, he's just got that. He's got that ability, and he's top of the stats of out of everyone at the moment, ahead of Salah and Mane and the big hitters. So I think if you haven't got him in, he's well worth a purchase, until he gets injured, of course, which he inevitably will do at some point in the season. But yeah, and I think him and Benrahma will probably rise again this week. So have a little look at your team, and if you haven't got them in and you want to get them in, maybe think about doing an early move this week, just because I wouldn't advise it later on in the season, but just when the market is really quite volatile at the start of the season, it's worth getting these players in. Having said that, it's interesting the price rises. I think there was about four or five or six players set for a rise last night, and only Reguilón from Spurs went up in price. Calvert-Lewin, a few others, Lukaku, didn't go up, despite the fact it was predicted. And I think early on in the season, it's difficult to work out exactly how FPL, how their algorithm or whatever is working. So it's an interesting one to keep an eye on. But yeah, if you were waiting to get Calvert-Lewin, luckily he hasn't risen yet. He probably will in the next few days. So maybe think about making that move. But yeah, it's why I've made an early move already, which we'll talk about briefly now. I've gone for Livramento at Southampton. I think a really good point of, I think it was the listening to the FPL General earlier on pre-season about transfers, was just, it's always tempting to make a move to a big hitter like Lukaku, like Son, to move your team around to accommodate these big players. But if your team's doing well already, just look at the weak link. And the weak link for me now is Tsimikas.
Yeah.
And he's gone up in price by 0.2, which means that his selling value increases by 0.1. So I sold him for 4.1, and I've got Livramento in from Southampton for 4 million. So I've banked that extra 0.1 million, which could be really useful, because I thought Livramento might go up in price last night. He didn't, so that's fine. But I've made that move already, just because he started both games for Southampton. He looked pretty good against United. He made a couple of runs and looks like an exciting option. Looks like Hasenhüttl's going to play him, because even when he brought Walker-Peters on, Walker-Peters played at left back instead of Livramento's position at right back. So I think he's now the best 4 million option for defenders. Duffy, of course, is another great option. He's gone up in price by 0.1, and I've already got three Brighton because I've got both their goalkeepers. So I've got Veltman, which is very annoying because of, obviously, he's not going to score anything for the first three game weeks because I think he's got COVID. But yeah, that's the move I've made. But I think in terms of those positions, those 4 million defensive positions, I think you've got Duffy if you want to spend that extra 0.1. I think he'll keep his place definitely for the next few game weeks. He's been superb so far. Already scored a goal. He's had, I think he's had like 7 shots already.
Has he?
7 shots. Yeah, 7 shots in the box from 3 games. He's their main threat from set pieces, taken
That's
over
bonkers.
from Lewis Dunk. And so I think with Brighton centre backs, they will always score goals. So I think he's a great option if you've got that extra 0.1. Livramento, as I've spoken about, and also Brandon Williams has just got his loan move to Norwich from Man United. So keep an eye on him. I presume he'll play. I can't imagine that Solskjaer would let him go on loan to Norwich if he wasn't going to be first choice.
No, absolutely.
So
not.
There's another 4 million defensive option there if you want to take a gamble on him. They'd be my three choices. And as I say, I've already made the move to Livramento. Boring stuff out the way. Any other options, Rich, that you'd like to discuss?
Well, he's not coming in this game week, just because I can't afford him, but I need to get in Romelu Lukaku, because I think he's one of the best strikers in the world, and the Premier League is like the perfect league for him. Completed 19 of his 20 passes for a target man, which is
wow,
incredible. You know, I felt so sorry for Pablo Mari. I mean, I know he's not the best defender in the world, but he just got shrugged aside, scored within the first 20 minutes. And he just looked absolutely superb for the whole game, Lukaku. And Chelsea easily going to be one of the contenders for the title this season. He got 64 in 93 appearances in Serie A, over the last few seasons is seasonal XG, 23.8, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, that's big.
So I remember when he was at Everton, I think he had a drought of maybe four games. So, you know, he's going to be pretty consistent throughout the season. So, yeah, looking to get Lukaku in maybe after the international break, I think.
Yeah, great stats there, Rich.
I would suggest. What about you? Who are you looking at for this game week or the next game?
I think just quickly on Lukaku, great stats there, mate. That's like Kane level of last season, that XG. And obviously he was a million cheaper. Kane's now gone down to 12.3, but for a cheaper price at a better team, Lukaku does look like the man. I think what's going to be really interesting this season, and I won't spend too long on this, maybe talk about it a bit more in the extra pod, is that I think we are going to have to hop on and off the premium options a lot more this season, depending on fixtures and form. Because I don't think it's worth ripping up the whole structure of your team to have Salah, Fernandes and Lukaku. I think you'll have to get rid of one of them in order for the rest of the team to not suffer too much. Unless, you know, there's suddenly loads of 5 million options from midfield come forward, 5.5 million options come forward. Smith Rowe, by the way, now down to 5.4 million. He could be a cheap enabler. I won't be getting Lukaku in just yet, just because money wise, it would completely ruin the balance of my team. But certainly interested in him. Yes, I will just quickly mention Paul Pogba. I think we can't ignore him. Although he's already gone up to 7.7 million because there's a lot of eager United fans on FPL. The casual players love if Paul Pogba or someone like that is doing well. I think he's slightly overachieving as well. He's had six shots in two games, which is pretty good for a midfielder, but he's only had one on target. He needs to improve his finishing if he wants to become an FPL option. He missed a big chance against Southampton. He also missed a big chance in the first game. So if he sorts his finishing out, like Traore from Wolves needs to do, he could become a really, really good option. But as I say, he's only created one big chance. He's created six chances in his two games, but he's got five assists. So there's no way he can keep up those levels. But he is worth keeping an eye on. He looked the most threatening option for United. In terms of eye test, he was the most threatening player in that game. United were pretty poor. It was disappointing. They play very well in bursts of kind of 15 minutes or so, and then the rest of the game, really not so good. Mason Greenwood, I think, is probably a better option than Paul Pogba. He's 0.1 cheaper. He's had eight shots so far, three of them on target, four in the box, 0.5 XG. We know Mason Greenwood is one of those players who is more clinical than his numbers suggest. He is very, very good at finishing. So if he gets a big chance, you think he's probably going to score. But I think on those stats, it's slightly better than Benrahma, but Benrahma's better value for me. So if it was a toss-up between the two of them, I'd still go for Benrahma at the moment, and that's probably what I'm going to do. And finally, at the same price point, I don't think we can keep ignoring Diogo Jota either. I mean, Liverpool have had the biggest attacking threat of all the teams in the league so far. Mm. They had a massive amount of shots against Burnley. Jota's had three big chances in his first two games. Hasn't had many, like only had five shots, but three big chances is huge. Also created a couple, and he plays for Liverpool. He's got that huge attacking threat, but as always, he is a rotation risk, so we've got to keep an eye on him. He started the first two games. He's got brought off on the after the first two games as well as a sub, brought off for Firmino. So there's always that chance that Firmino comes in, but I think keep an eye on him for the next few games. But again, right now, I think Benrahma is slightly better value. Was there anyone else you wanted to mention? I've got one more.
No, you go for it, mate. I've done my three. But yeah, Jota, he just looks great, doesn't he? He's so, so cheap. And you know what? If you're looking to, you know, bring in Lukaku and you don't want Salah, Jota is a great option to, you know, you still want an attacking player and you're from Liverpool, don't you? Jota is definitely, for me, ahead of Mane instead of Salah, at least.
Yeah, of course. And I think if we're all getting rid of Tsimikas now that Robertson looks like he's going to be back, you've got that extra Liverpool spot. So are you going to use it on Jota? You might want to use it on Robertson to keep that Liverpool defensive double up. But in terms of, I mean, again, it's very, very, it's only been two games, so it's a very low amount of data that we've got so far. But Liverpool aren't actually in the top six for defensive stats so far. So I'm thinking maybe I don't need a Liverpool double up in defence. I might stick with Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I think we're all going to be jumping on Chelsea defenders, aren't we, once it's clear who is actually going to start for them. I mean, Reece James's numbers were incredible in that game against Arsenal. Four shots for a defender, and created four chances, and created a big chance.
And what a goal.
Oh, huge, huge haul for him. But is he going to start every game? Probably not. Tuchel's not going to change his whole philosophy, and Reece James isn't going to be nailed. So is Azpilicueta a better option? Is Rudiger a better option? But are you just going for clean sheets, or do you want a little bit of attacking threat as well? But I think we're all going to be bringing them in. Final option for me is Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Everton. I think his numbers so far have been great. And as you said, Rich, it seems like the strategy this season is going to be much more get the ball into the box, use the best asset in the team. That's Dominic Calvert-Lewin's head. So I think he plays Brighton away next. So, and Brighton have been pretty good so far, but they have been conceding lots of headed chances, apparently. So he could be an option for this week. Personally, I'm going to keep Danny Ings for his fixture against Brentford, and then look at bringing Calvert-Lewin in for after the international break, because Everton's fixtures are very nice, and Villa's fixtures turn a little bit nasty. So I'm going to hold off on him for one more week. I can take an extra price rise, but I mean, if you can bring him in this week, for instance, I was looking at moves to kind of upgrade Tony to Calvert-Lewin and have that front three of Calvert-Lewin, Ings and Antonio. But money-wise, I can't quite make it work. But I will have enough in the bank to take another rise on Calvert-Lewin for after the international break. So he's top of my watch list along with Benrahma.
Yeah, he does look good. Everton this season, it's just the Cobra was messages. Big up the Cobra, by the way. Been doing absolutely superb work for us on our Twitter account. But he was messaging us about Damari Gray. And Damari Gray is, again, quite a budget midfield option. Not really done it in the Premier League, but he's just running at defenders and getting the ball into the penalty area, which is just what Calvert-Lewin wants. Obviously, he got his goal against Leeds as well. He's not having too many shots, but all you need really is him to just whip his right foot around it and swing it into the penalty area. And Calvert-Lewin, more often than not, is going to be in that six-yard box. Calvert-Lewin. Great shout. But yeah, Danny Ings for me as well. He's staying one more week, I think.
Yeah. That's about our best option so far. I mean, I own Rafinha already. If I didn't own Rafinha, I'd definitely be calling him out as well. Although game week four might be a little bit dodgy because he might have to go on international break with Brazil.
Yeah.
So maybe hold off on him.
Have you heard about Antonio getting a call up for Jamaica, by the way?
No.
Antonio's getting called up for the Jamaica squad at the age of 30 or whatever it is. No international appearances, just announces allegiance to Jamaica. So he's going to start playing for Jamaica. So Antonio is going to be off abroad playing in the Caribbean, which is going to be bloody lovely for him.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, if that puts him more in the injury risk bracket than normal, I suppose, being a little bit more fatigued. But I don't know when their fixture is or who they're playing, but definitely keep an eye on that going forward. I know Ben's not here again this week, and we committed to the shorter episodes at the beginning of the season, but we've kind of rambled on like we did last season. So should we wrap up then and say who you're doing for your captain this week?
Yes, I mean, it's not too bad. We're still nearly under half an hour, so that's not too bad. I think captaincy is a difficult one this week. Obviously, United didn't really shine against Southampton, so that puts you off Bruno. They've got Wolves away, who have only conceded two goals in two games against Spurs and Leicester. Spurs and... can't remember who they played in their first game now. Tricky fixture. And Salah, of course, plays Chelsea, which is a tricky fixture. Antonio is the other option that people are talking about. He's got Crystal Palace at home. But as you said, Rich, Crystal Palace is a slightly different game. You'd imagine they're going to set up to make things difficult for West Ham. And have West Ham had that test yet against the team that are going to sit back a little bit more? So I really haven't decided on my captain yet. Antonio has the best stats. Bruno was my choice originally at the start of the season when I looked at these fixtures. So I may stick with Bruno Fernandes. I'm a little bit worried about captaining someone like Antonio after only the two games of info, whereas Bruno's a bit more proven, I would say, as a, yeah. as an asset. So yeah, I'm not sure. It's either going to be Bruno or Antonio for me. What about you?
Good shout. For me, leading into this fixture at the start of the season, it was going to be Mo Salah. But Chelsea just look absolutely, you know, unbeatable at the moment in the early days of the season. So I think I'm leaning towards Danny Ings. You know, he's had a good start to the season. Brentford have been conceding a lot of chances. And no doubt he's probably going to start again up front for them. And, you know, he's done it season after season, hasn't he, Danny Ings? So I thought, why on earth not? More overhead volleys, please, Danny Ings. Danny Ings is probably going to get the armband this week. So first differential captaincy. I'm definitely not panicking at this point, by the way. One red arrow and he's like, oh, I've got a triple captain, Danny Ings. Just give an armband to Danny Ings for 1 week only.
Well, I think if you are going to pick a differential captain this week, this week is a good one to do because, as I said, there's no real standout options. So if you are going to pick a differential captain, it's not a bad shout this week. Let's wrap it up there. We definitely said we'd do shorter ends. let's wrap it up there. Transfers in, I think I've already done Tsimikas to Livramento. I'm almost certain I'm going to do Gundogan to Benrahma as well, just to cover that option. And captain, as I say, is between Bruno and Antonio. And transfers for you, Rich, you've already brought Benrahma in. Are you going to make any other moves?
Yeah, Benrahma in for Maddison, and then I think I'm going to roll it so I can have two transfers after the international break. The international break? God's sake. Already? I hate this at the start of the season. We might have to get somebody on in the international break, I guess, to entertain us and tell us about their seasons gone by.
Good shout. I've got a few in mind.
Okay, good, yeah. I need to get into some DMs, start sliding. But yeah.
we did have a few questions come through on Twitter and Discord, but I'll answer them in the extra pod.
Brill. And just a reminder, join our Discord. It is popping off. The link for that is in our Twitter bio, at FPL Triple Cap Remembered. Brill, any other business?
No, I think that's it, mate. Yeah, as I say, I'll be recording my extra episode a bit later today, so keep your ears and eyes out for that one. But apart from that, yeah, good luck for Game Week 3.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together, and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week. Whoa! I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.